Fantastic. Why don't you turn with me to Genesis chapter 22? Genesis chapter 22. So my intention tonight is, yes, to help you see more of Jesus, and to help you understand more that God loves you and he's got an incredible plan for your future. No matter where you are in life, whether you're just starting out as a young person or, you know, you're getting older in those years, I believe that no matter who you are, God has got an incredible purpose for you to work out. And so I'm believing that tonight, all of us, including me, I'm going to preach myself happy in Jesus' name. I already am happy, but you know what I'm saying? That together, let's go after God. Can we just not have another night in church? Let's go through the motions. Let's go, come on, God, we're coming after everything you've got for us tonight in Jesus' name. Genesis chapter 22. And we're going to start off in verse 1. And if you're looking in your Bibles, it's got maybe at the top of your Bible there in this passage, Abraham tested. Abraham tested. Now, the wonderful thing about living in 2017 and reading the Bible is we've got hindsight. So we know that it was a test. We know what the test was. We know that it wasn't end up being in carnage or turmoil situation, which it starts out looking like. But here's Abraham. And up until this point, everything has been pretty awesome for Abe. Abraham and Sarah, they've had a child, Isaac. They've had the dream and the promise fulfilled. They were very old in age, over 100. They've finally got their young son that they're believing for together. They've had a couple of, like, tried to do it themselves through Hagar. We'll get to that in a minute. But ultimately, big picture, they're loving life. I mean, they get all the cattle, they get all the donkeys. There's some farmers here. You know what I'm saying, amen. They get everything they could desire. They've got the properties. They've got the house. They've got it all. They're incredibly blessed. So when God turns up one morning and says, "Hey, Abraham," Abraham's response, of course, is, "Here I am. I'm over here. Here I am. What is next, Lord? What is on the cards? Is there a new upgrade in the donkey? You know, my old donkey's getting a bit slow. Is the back's getting a bit sore? Have we got a new one? Like, is there a new field? Is there a new territory? What's next?" And he goes, "You know your son?" "Yes, I do. You gave me to him. He's fantastic. I love him. Whom you love?" "Yes, I love him. He's a legend. He's such a little, it's amazing. Thank you for him. Go take him to the mountain and sacrifice him." "Sorry, God, what? Have you lost your mind? What is God saying?" And it says the very next day, Abraham sets out to be obedient to what God had asked him to do. And we look at this verse from verse 1, and we find ourselves, he goes on the journey, he walks up the mountain. Isaac is old enough to know what's going on. He knows, hang on, we're going to the altar, we're going to make a sacrifice, we're going to worship God up at the Mount Moriah there. And he's like, hey, Dad, the wood is here. You know, you got the knife, we've got the fire, but I can't help but notice the offering isn't here. Where's the lamb?" And a dad with a heavy heart, knowing what's to come, is like, it's okay, son, God's going to provide. But somewhere in his heart going, "God, I hope you do. God, I don't understand. This is confusing me. I don't know why we're doing this, but all I know is you've come through every other time, so I'm going to continue to follow right now." It says he gets to the moment where he's about to slay his own son. He's about to slay his own son. And he gets to verse 10, "Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called out from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.'" And he yells out at him again. Now, here's the fascinating thing to me. Abraham's response is exactly the same when God had been blessing him. It was all smooth sailing. It was fantastic. When he said, "Here I am, what's next?" Abraham is still saying, "Here I am. I haven't run. I'm hurting. I'm uncertain. I'm confused. But God, here I am. I haven't moved." And tonight I want to talk about that very subject. Here I am. That we will be people of God who know how to be Christ followers and Christ lovers and leaders when it's easy, when it's awesome, when the season is good and everything makes sense. But even when it's like, "God, are you requiring more of me?" When things are a little bit uncomfortable, when I'm a little bit uncertain, may our response yet still be, "Here I am. God, what is next? I may not understand everything you've got me doing, but God, I am certain that I don't want to miss out on all that you have for me. Here I am." Father, have your way in this meeting tonight. I thank you that you know every single life. You know every single person sitting here tonight. I thank you that you know their story. You know what they're going through, what they're facing, where there's question marks, where there's doubt, where there's anxiety. And I pray tonight through your word that you'd bring release. You'd bring miracles. You'd bring grace to people's lives. You'd bring hope and strength into people's lives tonight. Lord God, we didn't come here just to have another evening in church. We came to meet with you. So I pray that by the time people leave here tonight, they would be different. And as they came in, burdens would be lifted. There'd be purpose reminded. There'd be that spark inside their heart again, knowing that you've called them. Here we are, Lord. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. We know that this was just a test. We know that Abraham was tested. We know that he passed that test. But when you're stuck in the middle of it, you don't know what's about to happen. You don't know what's about to come. It was an incredible response to an incredible situation. I wonder tonight what situation you're facing. I wonder what you're going through. I wonder what maybe the things that God, maybe this year where you started out going, here I am, it's 2017. I'm ready for that year. This is going to be a new year. I'm ready for all that God's got for me. You had dreams for your career, your family, your job. But now we're in October. Are we? Yes, we are. And you're like, hang on, God, I thought that this was going to be the case. I thought I wasn't going to continually struggle with this fear. I thought I wasn't going to struggle with this addiction. I thought that this was going to be different at my workplace. I thought my studies were going to be, God, I thought you would provide. And if we're not careful, we get to this time, he's like, well, there I was, God, and maybe not here I am anymore. I wonder what happens when you find yourself in a moment like Abraham where there's confusion, uncertainty. Maybe things aren't going according to how you want them to be. Now, I know it's just more Melbourne people and Australians who are control freaks. I know that wouldn't be anyone in this kind of room that just wants everything your way. But what happens when we're in a situation where God is leading us in places that we don't understand? And maybe our following is so easy when it's like, God, I love what you're doing here. I love this job. I love these relationships. I love what you've called me to do. But when we don't understand, are we as keen to say, here I am, God. I'm being faithful. I'm being obedient. I will follow you. Here I am. See, so often when we find ourselves in these circumstances and situations where there is confusion, there is uncertainty, what's our common response? Well, I'm out of here. I can't do this anymore. This is just too much. And we even sometimes spiritualize it. It's like, well, I just feel like God is calling me into a new season. I feel he's closing the door on one thing and he's just opening up another. We don't know what that door is. We can't tell anyone what it is, but we're very good at using spiritual language. Such garbage. You're just depending on what the situation is. And we like to spiritualize, well, I just feel like God is doing a deep work in me. It's like, I just need to take some time for myself and remove myself. It's like, no, you're just trying to run away. And so often we don't find out what God wants to do in us because we don't stay around long enough to see what his plan actually was. He tests us all. In those moments of times, he's actually trying to do something in us for a reason. So tonight I want to look at these three simple words, here I am. So if you're taking notes tonight, I'm just giving you a heads up. It's going to be 3 points. They're very simple words. Even one of them is a one-letter point. Maybe you've never had that before in Preston. One-letter points. Amen. Here, number one. You're here. I know you are here. But what about you're here? You're here and now. Where life is looking like right now. That can be fun. We have our mountaintop experience. Maybe she said yes to that date and you're like, yes, yes. Maybe she's down the road tonight and you're planning to just ask her out on that date tonight and you just never know. After church, God might be just bringing you together. There's a little bit of a nervous smile on a few of your faces. I won't rat you out. However, praying for you. And I think some of us sometimes, we can be on that mountaintop experience. Others of us, we like to say we're on that mountaintop experience, but we're going through the valleys. And it's interesting to me sometimes that we kind of shift the faithfulness of our God depending on our circumstance. Some of us even go to the point of going, well, you know what? This circumstance, my here, isn't exactly what I want it to be. And when we start to buy into the lie, maybe it's a dead end in life, a tragedy, someone's left you, you've lost your job or marriage and at home is tough right now. When our here's become difficult, we start to buy into the lie that God can't use me in my here. That if I don't like being here and I'm uncomfortable and I can't see God's faithfulness in my here, then we buy into the lie that I can't be used in my here, so I must go find a better there. And marriages get broken down and families and your career, what God had you there for. And if you're at university and studying, there's all these great things. But so often we don't like where we find ourselves in circumstances and situations. Instead of sticking out to find what God had for us, we run and find a better there, only to find, guess who's waiting for you? You. And all that baggage that you had there and you tried to leave it behind, it's over here waiting for you because you're there. And it's so often that we try and run from here's to there's to here's to there's only to find out that history keeps repeating itself. And guess what? It's you. But God says, hey, if you just stay in your here long enough to watch me move, I'm going to turn up. And it might be as miraculous as seeing a ram in a thicket, and like Abraham saw that day, that then becomes the offering. God is wanting you to stay in your here long enough so your preference dies and you watch what he wants to do. That you would say, my self-reliance, my self-wisdom, and all that I want to do, that let that die so that you might see his purpose in your here, that you might see your provision in your here, and you might see his power in your here. See, if we just do what we want and go when we want, we end up in all sorts of troubles. We try and shortcut. We try and take that shortcut that maybe when you're driving. Have you ever gone on that road trip and you put into Google or put into Maps and it comes up, your journey will take you 2 hours or whatever it is. And you have every single right from that moment to beat whatever that iPhone is telling you. Whatever that GPS is telling you, it is now a game. And if you haven't played this game, you're missing out. On the way home, play it. You will beat. That is your mission in life, to beat whatever that thing says you. So me, being a little bit of a competitive person, I sometimes often will try and find new creative ways to get home other than what this thing is saying. And often, more often than not, I'm glad my wife isn't here to hear this, but I'm wrong. And this isn't being recorded. Oh, I'm in trouble. And I am wrong. And I find in all sorts of detours and shortcuts get me nowhere. They actually get me into a longer time if I just would have stayed where I was meant to go. The things in God are exactly the same. So often we try to shortcut our hears and find a better there, only to find we've thwarted the plan of God. We've frustrated our own selves thinking we knew better, and God's saying, hey, I'm being patient for you. My purposes and my plans have not changed. I'm just waiting for you to be obedient and surrender and watch what I can do instead of what you can do. Where, I wonder, have you been shortcutting or attempting to shortcut the things of God in your life? Or maybe you've been navigating seasons and areas and situations in your own strength. Abraham was in the most painful event, yet he did not attempt the shortcut. He did not even attempt the shortcut. His here, his now, it wasn't comfortable. It wasn't desirable. It wasn't pleasurable. It didn't make sense, but yet it was vitally necessary for Abraham to become the man of God that he was called to be. And sometimes God takes us through moments in our circumstances, in our journeys with him, where we become rid of every of our own, I guess, wisdom, our own strength, our own ways, just that we say, God, I fully surrender and trust in you. If you're in a moment tonight where you feel like you're in that dead end, or feel like, God, I'm not sure how you're going to get me out of it, tonight we're going to pray that you're going to see that solution, that God is going to bring your miracle, that you're going to get your breakthrough tonight in Jesus' name, that there will be something that would happen where, like the ram caught in the thicket turned up, God is going to turn up something in your dead end tonight in Jesus' mighty name. See, I'm sure that Abraham wanted to escape. I'm sure that he wanted to get out of there. But the thing is about Abraham, he had been down this road before. He understands all too well the consequences of taking the call of God or the purpose of God into his own hands. If you want to rewind with me in the story back to Genesis chapter 15, and maybe it'll be on the screens. But after this, the word of the Lord in verse 1, came to Abraham in a vision and said, do not be afraid, Abram. His name hadn't changed yet. I am your shield, your very great reward. Now, I'm not sure how many people here have had a vision from God or heard the audible voice from God. But if you had, or if you were tonight driving home and suddenly you're just driving along, you're listening to your radio, and then suddenly you hear, Abraham. Okay, whoa, hello. My name's not Abraham, but you get the idea. I'm your shield and your very great reward. I was like, wow, God, that's amazing. You are my shield. Like this would, who would love to hear the audible voice of God tell you that he is your shield and your very great reward? Those who didn't respond, he's not going to do it. So there you go. But he's saying, I'm your shield, your very great reward. Like, I would be thinking, this is a great day. I'm going to get that tattooed or something onto my body to say, hey, this is what God did that day. And then this is what happens. Listen to Abram's response, at the time. Look how pleased he is and thankful he is. Oh, sovereign Lord, what else can you give me since I remain childless? What a response. Like, if I'm God right now, I'm going, I'll tell you what else I can give you. You know what I'm saying? But Abraham is so blessed. He's got everything his heart desires, and he hears this wonderful promise of God saying, I'm your protector. I'm your provider. I'm going to be everything that you need. He's like, yes, so what? My heart is hurting. The one thing I want you haven't given me. But yet God is so gracious. He hears what he says. And he says, the word of the Lord came and said, this man will not be your heir, talking about his servant, but a son is coming from your own body and will be your heir. And then God takes Abram outside, and he says, Look up at the heavens and count the stars. Now, I love this. Watch this. God gets sassy. If indeed you can count them. I love that the Bible puts that stuff. There's God attitude right there for you. Hey, come out and look at the stars, Abraham, and count them. If you can, pal. Like, I love that about the Bible. He says, if you can. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteous. Now, I want you to watch what happens. Husbands, you know what happens if what you would do. If you had just been given a promise of exactly what your heart, you'd heard the shield, the record, like, let's get that out of there. What else, God? I'm going to give you children. I'm going to give you descendants. And in fact, they're going to be, look at the stars. You can't count them. That's right. You can't do it. Now, that's how many descendants are going to be. The first thing he's going to do is like, Sarai, get out of here. I'm tired. I'm sleeping. No, quick, get out of here. You've got to see this. It's stars. Abe, we live in a desert. I see the stars every night. No, it's different. Quick, get out of here. Get out of here. She's out there. What's going on? He goes, hey, count them. Count the stars. Yeah, count them. I can't. There's too many of them. I know. What are you going on about? Well, God said it is a shield and great reward. And I said, no, I don't like that. And he said, well, that's okay because he's going to give us children. And she's like, that's great. I haven't got a child. He goes, no. He said, as many as the stars in the sky, that's how many our children are going to be. That's how many children we're going to have. And he's pumped. And she's like, oh. If any people who have had children, you know that that moment may have been a bit scary for her. However, here's what, I love it. Guess what their favorite time of the day is from that moment on? Sunset. Here they come. Here's our promise. There's little Susie, little Johnny, little James. I'm sure they're biblical names. And they would have been so excited. Here comes, sunset's coming. It's 1 hour to go. Here we go. And they would have got out their popcorn and just been sitting there watching the stars and naming them each night. Week after week, month after month, then year after year. Then suddenly what was originally a reminder of the promise becomes a reminder of the problem. How do we respond when what was the promise becomes a reminder of the problem of the lack? We find out, if we fast forward, we get to the part of the story where, well, they're not happy again. And in Genesis 16, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. This is after the promise had been given. And so watch what she says again, verse 2. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. So therefore, go and sleep with my maidservants. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Did you catch that? Well, the Lord has stopped me. It's his fault. Here's what I think we should do. Here's my plan. Now, I think perhaps we can make this happen by you going and having a baby with Hagar, our maidservant. And maybe that's the way we can have it. Listen, if you look at your problem enough, you'll always compromise to get your own outcome. If you focus on your problem instead of God's promise, you'll always compromise to get your own way. And Sarai begins to say, well, maybe this is the way it happens, and maybe it's the way. See, the result of that is Ishmael is born, and I don't have time to go into it, but it's all messed up, and ultimately Hagar and Ishmael have to get kicked out. And what Abram thought was the promise, what they both together thought was that promise of the stars and descendants, it wasn't the way. And ultimately ends up in heartache, ultimately ends up in disappointment. And so there they go. They've been exiled from community. They're not a part of the family anymore. And I'm sure Abram remembers sending his son off, because it's still his son, off in heartache and disappointment, going, God, please don't show me any more stars, because that's gone. I don't have any more way. I don't know what you're going to do. And so that if we fast forward back to this moment, Abraham remembers all too well what it was like to take things into his own hands. He remembers what it's like. And so in verse 7, when he says, hey, Dad, yes, my son, that the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham's answer was, God himself will provide the lamb for the offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. And I'm sure as the father is leading the son, knowing what is about to come, but determined not to mess up the plans and the askings of God again, to say, God, I do not understand what you're asking. I'm confused, I'm hurting, I'm in pain. But God, I know what I did last time, and I know what the pain it caused me last time, and I'm desperate to see what will happen of just following you. I know you're faithful, I've seen it. I know you're my shield, I know you're my great reward, I know you're my protector. I don't know what you want, but I know who you are, so I'm gonna continue to trust and believe that your very best is for me. And so with a heavy heart and uncertainty, he begins and follows on with what God had asked him to do. And he's yelling out just before he's about to go through with it. And he says, here I am. God, I'm still here. I haven't moved. I haven't messed it up this time. God, I'm going to follow you. God, I'm here. I wonder what your here looks like. Whether you're in confusion right now, whether you're in pain, whether you're in uncertainty, can I encourage you, don't move. Now's not the time. Now's not the time to get up and run. Now's not the time to leave that relationship. Now's not the time. God is saying, hey, wait for me here. Follow me. Follow my voice. Listen to what I've got for you. If I said it, I will do it. I am faithful to all my promises, he says. Don't give up. Don't walk away. Stay for his presence and his purpose and his power in your life in Jesus' name. Number two, is this all right tonight? I, there's the short one, I. Here, I. It's got to do with identity. Abraham could stay where he was meant to be because he knew who God had called him to be. Abraham could stay where he was meant to be because he knew who God had called him to be. See, if we rewind again back to Genesis chapter 17, all the things that kind of culminated to where Abraham got that day was, you know, he was called Abram, wasn't called Abraham. And Abram, you see, had, it says in verse 3, had fell face down to God. And as he's fallen face down before God in a humbling posture, you know, God, I'm listening to you. It's not my will, but listening to him. In verse 4, it says, as for me, God talking to Abram, this is my covenant with you. You will be father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, meaning exalted father, meaning a father in own strength. Your name will be Abraham. For I've made you father of many nations. I'll make you very fruitful and I'll make nations of you and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. What an incredible promise. Nations will come from you. Kings and queens will come from you. This is going to be your land where you're now foreigner. I'm going to give it all to you and I will continue to be your God and the descendants after you. I'll be their God. I'll be faithful to them. I'll be their shield and their great reward. Do you know when God gave him this promise? It was after Ishmael had been born. It was after he'd been disobedient and after he'd taken things into his own hands and after he'd made a mess of things. The promise of Isaac hadn't come yet. It was still to come. He'd given him a promise. He'd messed it up and raced ahead. But yet God was still saying, hey, buddy, I know you're not content. I know you know that this wasn't my plan. And I'm here to remind you that you haven't messed this up. I'm here to remind you that you haven't messed my plan and my purpose up. I'm your God. I'm your shield. I'm your great reward. I'm your protector. I will have my purpose here. And if you would understand that this is my covenant, it is so much better than what you have done. You have done it in your own hands and you've got one child. I want to show you, Abraham, that all that turmoil, all that regret, that is going to subside and you're going to have kings and queens and nations and I'll never, ever leave you. The promise is still available, he was saying. No longer will you be called Abram, your name will be Abraham. I love that he changes his name from doing it in your own strength and you got Ishmael saying, hey, Abraham falls face down, starts to hear what God is speaking to him saying, my promise is still for you. Oh, that we would be prepared to fall face down before our God. That we will be prepared to fall face down and rid our minds and in our own ears of who we think we should be and how we think we can achieve in our own strength and start to listen to the voice God has spoken over you. Maybe you find yourself in a situation tonight where you feel like you've messed things up. You feel like you've gone off and good and proper messed things up. And you started to say things like, well, I'll just never really have God's best. You might not say it out loud, but you're settling in your heart. And maybe I came from Melbourne just to tell you tonight that you haven't messed it up beyond what God wants to do. That his promises, his gifts, and his calling are irrevocable, it says in Romans. That you would be someone who would understand that God hasn't finished with you yet. That the things that you've messed up, God says, oh, no, you haven't messed it up. My promise is still available. He's just waiting for you to get face down. He's just waiting for you to surrender. He's waiting for you to rid your ears of your own voice and your own justifications and understand that God has got his very best for your life. He loves you. He's got it the very best. But it's not till we get face down. You know, I think sometimes, well, I can be a pretty good dad. I can be a good father. I can be a leader. I can be a pastor. And if I'm not careful, I'm like, oh, I'm doing pretty all right. Look at how I'm doing and I can do it in my own strength. But it's nothing what happens. It is nothing compared to when I hear what God has got for me. When I start to go on my knees and go, wow, I remind myself, this is not in my strength. This is all him. and it's all for him and it's all for his cause, what would happen if the body of Christ all lived like that? That we become who he's called us to be, not who we think we should be. And that's why God turns up and says, hey, Abram, I don't want you to think, I don't want you to act and live out of who you can in your own strength anymore. I'm going to change your name. And your name's not going to be doing it out of your own strength anymore. Your name is going to be Abraham, father of many nations, according to the promise that I have spoken over you. Can we not walk around as Sarai's and Abram's any longer when God has walked, told us and asked us and called us to walk as Abraham's and Sarah's, not in our own strength, but in the purposes and the plan of God? Let us be people who hold on to the promise of God and say, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to get face down. In Genesis 17, in verse 10, he goes on. He says, this is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and the covenant you are to keep. And every male, so he's told him, I'm going to make descendants and nations and kings. And he's like, this is awesome. And he says, then this is the covenant you have to keep with me, that every male among you shall be circumcised. He's like, oh, sorry, Tim, you mentioned the C word in church. That's not appropriate. He's like, hang on, what? And God tells him what is involved in that. And he's thinking, every male, this is, are you serious? Why? Because God was trying to say, hey, listen, I want something painful and permanent to always remind you of who you are now. And we live in a generation so often now that says, hey, can I just give God lip service? Can I just attend? Can I just rock up and worship? Isn't that enough? And God says, no, I need something from your heart. I need you to understand that going through the process where maybe there might be painfully removed something from your life, but it'll always permanently remind you that your God is your God. And your name and your life and your living is not according to who you once were, but you're a son of God. You're a daughter of the King. And you can walk differently now as you know that my life can be changed and living for him. Number three. M. The team can come back up. M. To do with action, movement, progress, or obedience. Abraham saying, I am doing this. Here I am. I am doing this, Lord. I am being obedient. It wasn't just lip service. God, I am still here. I haven't moved. I am being faithful to what you've called me to do. See, he had realized the difference of doing things his own way and doing it God's way. And Abraham had fulfilled God's promise in his own strength and received blessing according to his own way, insignificant. But it was his obedience and his faithfulness that took him from the natural to the supernatural. Wasn't how much he prayed. Wasn't how much he gave. It was obedience that saw the promise unlocked. It was obedience that saw the miracle. And sometimes for us, it's like obedience is not the nice word. It's like, oh, we'd rather talk about how effectively you need to pray or what you need to do to get the miracle of God in your life. And sometimes it's just being obedient that attracts the miracle. It's like, well, Tim, I've been fasting. Oh, that's great. That's one thing. But have you been obedient to the call of God on your life? Obedience attracts the supernatural promise and purpose and faithfulness of God over your life. That's what attracts it. Obedience to the call of God. It's like, well, Tim, that's very religious. That's just law. No, it's what invokes the grace of God in your life. The grace of God is to pick you up when you make mistakes, and that's what we do. But it's to also to empower us into living this life that God's got for us. Abraham wasn't living in his own strength here. He'd learned what that brought him. He was following what God had asked him to do. Obedience today by our culture has been diluted and into a place of instead of being obedient and knowing what obedience is, we kind of just settle for good intentions over action, over I am. Like imagine if we got our 14th year wedding anniversary coming up in April next year. I know I got married when I was 10. It's great. But we, 14 years. And so imagine if I get back after this trip. I'm like, hey Nicola, I'm going to, for our 14th year anniversary, I'm thinking about this wonderful idea. She's like, okay, Tim, what are we going to do? Well, I think that I want to fly you to the Maldives. And we're going to get one of those wonderful bungalows that just overlooks the water and it's going to be beautiful. And we should stay there for a week. We'll leave the children at home and it'll just be you and me. We'll just hang out and do what we want. And then after Maldives, that's just not enough for 14 years. Let's do something even better. From Maldives, why don't we fly to Paris? And we can just have some time in Paris. We eat all the croissants, get really amazingly just, it'd be great. It'd be fantastic. And then after that, let's fly to London and we'll train to London because it's quicker and we'll just do some shopping and it'll be great. And then right on the way home, we just stop past Hawaii because, you know, I can surf and you can sunbathe. And it's what a great holiday this will be. And maybe we just stop off at Bali on the way back just to get some bargains and pretend that we've got all the right expensive stuff, but really it's just knockoffs and it will look great and we get home. And then she's like, Tim, that's a fantastic idea. When have you booked it? I'm like, oh, no, I'm not booking it. I just thought it's the thought that counts, right? Like I was thinking about it. It's the thought that counts. Some of you people who've been married longer than me know that I would be on the couch for a little bit that night. So often, God, use me. God, I'll go anywhere. God, save my family. Help me. I'll do anything for you. Here I am. God says, well, hey, you're going to forgive? Well, no, not that person. Did you see what they did to me? Hey, go and talk to that person about God. Are you sure? Because that's going to make me look like an idiot. And so often, God, I'll do, I'll go, I'll have your way. I'll stand for you. I'll do what you want. But so often it resolves in just lip service and good intentions with no follow through. And I believe God is looking for a people who will say, here I am. I am here. I am a part of this. I will be involved. God, here is my obedience. It's not just when it suits me. I am in this no matter the cost. I am in this despite my confusion or despite my uncertainty. I am with you, God. I am committed. And that's exactly what was going on between verses 1 to 11. A bunch of heartache, a bunch of pain, a bunch of uncertainty. But a man of God saying, God, I know what it's like and I know what the result is of doing things my own way. And I'm desperate to serve you and be obedient. Say, here I am. That we would be a bunch of people who learn the power of saying, God, not just here, not just, hey, that's a great thought, but God, here I am.